Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the first reading from this weekend's reading, we hear from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Now, in this scripture passage, we have a piece of scripture that every Catholic should memorize. If there's one scripture passage that we should memorize by heart, it's Jeremiah 31:33. And it says, "I will place my law with them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now, why? Why, of all the scripture passages, should this one be the most important, or one of the most important, that we should have memorized? We should have this on a refrigerator, on the mirror in the bathroom. This is something that we should all have and know by heart. It's because we celebrate the scripture passage every time we gather for Mass. Remember the story of the Last Supper? Jesus gathers with his apostles. He takes the chalice, the cup of wine, and he says, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant." And see, this is exactly what Jeremiah prophesied in 31:33. And now it comes true through Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate every time we gather for the Mass. The new covenant that Jesus now makes with us that is permanent and everlasting. Well, Jeremiah saw that, and this is what he's prophesying. Now, before Jesus came, God established covenants with others, with Abraham, with Noah, with Moses, David. Now, we cannot consider these covenants like contracts. No, not at all. There's a greater depth to them. Instead, they were pledges and vows, you know, somewhat similar to the vows that a man and a woman take when they come before God's altar in the sacrament of marriage. They each give one another over to the other. And see, that's exactly what's happening here. When God says, "I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts, I will be their God, and they shall be my people." You see, this is an exchange of persons. Each is giving themselves over to the other. Now, what does God demand of us? The law, that we follow the law. Essentially, what God says is if we want to be called God's people, then we have to behave a certain way. We have to conform our life in a certain way. And see, that's why God gives Moses the Torah. That's why he gives David the sacrifices in the temple. These are all ways in which God wants us to behave and act a certain way, according to the law. God wants us to conform ourselves so that we truly are and act like God's chosen people. You know, it's similar to joining a club, a health club, or an organization, or a society. You know, the clubs, the health club, an organization, a society, they all have certain expectations on our behavior, rules, what we can do and what we can't do. And yet, what's the problem with the Israelites? Well, they can't follow these laws. These laws are extrinsic to them. The Israelites feel that these laws are burdensome, even arbitrary. And yet, I would argue that these laws essentially form our identity and who we are. I'll give you an analogy about this. Take a kid learning a sport for the first time, say football. Now, this kid begins to learn to play football, and he is instructed by coaches. And the coaches will tell him first, you know, how to hold the football, how to throw it, how to stand. They'll say to the kid, you know, do it this way. No, don't do it that way. You know, this is how you stand to receive a hike from the center. They'll teach the kid, you know, how to throw to a receiver that is running. They'll say, no, don't do it that way. No, do it this way. Essentially, they will teach this kid all the laws of football, all the laws and the rules of football. Now, at first, the laws and the rules of football are extrinsic to this child. They're outside of them. The kid has to adjust himself and his body to the laws. You know, these laws are difficult and awkward at first. But do you know of any kid that first takes like a duck to water, that is able to essentially immediately master whether it's an instrument or a sport for the very first time? No. Instead, what's required of the kid? Practice. Practice and more practice. Now, we know as kids and even as adults, we like to skip practice. We don't like practice. We want to go immediately and play in the game. But what happens if that is true? Well, it becomes difficult for the law, the rules of that game to enter into our system. And yet, over time, if that kid is persistent and he practices and practices and with talent, eventually the law, the rules of football begin to work their way into that kid's mind, in his heart, in his muscles, his instincts, and his reflexes, such that he no longer thinks about what the coach or how the coach instructed him how to stand and throw the ball. Immediately, he just does it. It now becomes normal, natural, second nature to him. When that kid takes the field, the football field, he doesn't carefully rehearse, you know, how to throw the ball. He knows how to do it, especially with a receiver on the run. When that kid takes the field, he's not preoccupied with the lessons that he learned from his coach on how to run an offense or how to look at defenses. Immediately when he takes the field, he looks at those defenses and he picks it up, and he is able to clearly design and call a play that can defeat that defense. Again, he doesn't even think about it. It all of a sudden comes naturally, instinctively for him. That law now is written inside that kid. The law or the rules of football are not something outside of that kid. Instead, now they are part of his own makeup, part of his identity. They are rooted in him. And now that kid is a football player. Now take that analogy and apply it to us when it comes to God and the law. We must be constantly practicing the law of God in our life. It takes persistence, takes hard work, but eventually, over time, the law of God works its way into our heart, our mind, our soul, into our muscles, into our instincts and reflexes, such that what? We go out into the world day in and day out, and we practice, you know, charity, compassion, forgiveness for others. We do it without even thinking about it, without even being told to do it. We just do it. It's part of our makeup, part of our instincts. And then it becomes part of our identity. The law is rooted inside of us. It's intrinsic to us, such that now we can be called Catholics. We can truly be called God's chosen people because we're living that out. We're conforming. We're behaving the way God wants us to behave. Now, with that in mind, go back to the first reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Did the Israelites resist God's law? Absolutely. You see this throughout sacred scripture. That's why Jesus refers to the Israelites as a stiff-necked people, stubborn, unfaithful, who didn't abide by the law. Now, just like that kid trying to play football, if he doesn't practice, you know, he is not going to know the laws or the rules of football, and he won't be able to play the game. He won't be a football player. Well, same too with the Israelites. They resisted the laws. The laws became extrinsic to them, and therefore it was hard for them to know the faith and be able to live it out. But what does God want from all of us? He wants his law to be internalized by us, such that his law is now intrinsic to us, part of who we are, part of our own makeup. See, when that happens, then we can easily live it out, day in and day out. The law is no longer extrinsic to us, but instead it is written in our hearts. It's part of our own identity. And now we can truly call ourselves Catholics because we are conforming ourselves to what God wants and how he wants us to behave. The Lord's law is written in our hearts, and now we can conform ourselves to it. Now, go back to that kid, or any kid, that's practicing or beginning a sport that's new, or even picking up an instrument for the first time, a violin or a piano. The kid, at first, when he plays that violin, that piano, when he plays that sport for the first time, it feels awkward. You know, it just doesn't feel right, doesn't conform to him. But that's okay. You know, at the very beginning, as we learn God's law, his teaching, it's hard work. It requires persistence and practice and dedication to the extent that what? After a reasonable amount of time, now that kid can master that instrument. He can pick up that violin and play it with ease. He can play that piano without even thinking about the music. He immediately plays a beautiful song. Or whether it's a sport, he immediately starts playing that sport without even having to think about it. It becomes instinctive, part of who he is. And so is the law hard for us? Well, yes, sometimes. Does it call for us to change our life and our behavior? Yes, absolutely. Do we resist? Well, sometimes. But if we resist, then that law of God becomes alien to us. Probably one of the worst things that could possibly happen is a child begins a sport, begins to learn to practice or play a violin or a musical instrument, a piano, and gets so frustrated that they quit immediately. They no longer play that instrument or that sport. Well, that's a tragedy. Why? Because now that child is never going to know their true potential. Same thing holds true in the spiritual life. We cannot quit. You know, just as that player, after a while, the law is written in their body such that they become a natural player, a natural person that can play that instrument, so too with us. You know, the law of God, practicing our faith, being a Catholic, becomes instinctive to us, something that we don't even have to think about. We just go out and do it. Let me conclude with one last thing. When Jeremiah prophesied in 31:33 about the new covenant, well, they waited. They waited centuries and centuries for this new covenant to come. They waited for it to be written on their hearts. And finally, it did come in the form of Christ, made flesh. Christ is the law. Jesus Christ, when he is born, now the law comes to life. And that's why every time we celebrate the Mass, we eat and we drink the law into us. We take in the law, Jesus' body and his blood. And see, now the dream and the prophecy of Jeremiah 31:33 comes true. Again, go back to that analogy. Just like that player, he takes that football field and now he plays effortlessly, instinctively. You know, everything flows in and through him, the whole game. Well, so too with us. You know, when we take in the body and blood of Jesus Christ, when we take in the law made flesh, now we live our life, a life of fidelity to God as his chosen people, effortlessly, instinctively. Because it's part of who we are, part of our identity. And see, this is what Jesus speaks to in the words of the consecration. Jesus gives us his body and his blood. It is the law made flesh. What's the implication? Every time when we take in Jesus, his body and his blood, we conform ourselves to the law. We eat and drink Christ himself. And it is Christ who is the law. See, now the law indeed is written in our hearts. Now the law truly is intrinsic to us, part of who we are, in our heart, mind, our soul, our muscles, our bones, in our very instincts. The law is working in and through us so that we can go out every day of our life and live it out and be the very people that God has chosen us to be. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.